Now I'd like to introduce former ambassador to Uzbekistan and author of Murder in Samarkand, Craig Murray.
But this building was built long before the invention of the microphone, and I'm going to work on the basis you can hear me if I project. We might lose some nuance in the voice, but I'm not big on nuance anyway. As I came in here today, I had a look at the monuments at the back. I only, in fact, looked at the first ones just on the back wall at that side. And I saw a monument to the Burnley family on the wall there of Barbados, a monument to the Beale family of Canton, and a monument to the Page family of Bombay. All those monuments dating from between 1790 and 1810. That means, for certain, and these are the people, it says, who donated to build this beautiful building we are in, the Burnleys of Barbados will undoubtedly have been involved in slavery at the end of the 18th century. And the Beales of Canton and the Pages of Bombay were undoubtedly involved in the opium trade from India to China. And this building is like the British establishment itself. On the surface, it is beautiful, solid, and harmonious, but it is based on corruption, based on immorality, and the slavery of our. Seeing illegality in the treatment of Julian Assange, the abuses of process by the British justice system throughout the last decade have been absolutely astonishing. We even had a situation where the law was changed immediately after his extradition to Sweden was approved in order that in future people under European arrest warrant must be ordered, extradition must be ordered by a judge, not just by a prosecutor. And yet, for Julian, that wasn't done. And we had a situation where Lord Phillips, in giving that judgment, said, uniquely, in no other case in British law has this ever happened before, that he was going to rely on the French language version of the European Treaty, not the English language version, because prosecuting authority has a wider meaning in French than it does in English. That's one example only of the abuses of this process, and most of you are aware of the disgusting actions of the so-called magistrate, Lady Arbuthnot, married to a former Tory defence minister, married to a man who owns a company which he runs together with the former head of MI6. And that person was in charge of key parts of Julian's process. There is no legality. There is no justice. Julian is a prisoner of an intensely corrupt system. We had the situation where the British government has out of hand dismissed the concerns of the United Nations. Not just the concerns of Nils Melzer, but dismissed the report of the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, and in hundreds of other cases, literally hundreds of other cases, every single one, the British government had always supported the decisions of that working group. It is only in the case of Julian Assange they have rejected it, and then the British government has the cheek 3 weeks ago to criticise Iran for refusing to accept the decision of the same United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention in the case of Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe. The British government has lost its international respectability. Only 3 days ago, the British government passed the deadline by which it had to return, by order of the International Court of Justice and the United Nations General Assembly, it had to return Mauritius, the Chagos Islands, to Mauritius. We have, of course, the great John Pilger here, who made that fantastic documentary on the dreadful injustice, the genocide of the Chagos Islanders. We live in a state that has become a rogue state. A state that waged illegal war on Iraq, on Libya, on Afghanistan. A state which WikiLeaks and Julian did so much to expose the wrongdoing in the conduct of those wars. A state which we now know, thanks largely to WikiLeaks and their work with the whistleblowers, we know now that the attempts to get us into another illegal war in Syria were also based on lies and fake documents conducted during the OPCW. We need Julian Assange. And one thing I want to say to you today is, it is not only that he is the victim of torture, it is not only that his life is at stake, it is not only that we want to save him from a dreadful injustice, we also want to save him because the world needs Julian Assange as a symbol and fighter for liberty in these times. You are all very, very bad citizens, because you are here listening to dreadful rabble-rouser troublemakers like us, when you should be at home watching the BBC News telling you that Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite and here is Boris Johnson eating a scot. Well, we live in a world where the governing party has moved further to the far right than I ever expected I might see in my lifetime. And where the pretense of democracy has become more of a charade than I ever expected it to become in my lifetime. There's virtually no bare charade, no bare pretense of a level playing field in the general election which is currently going on. You have a billionaire-owned media, and you have a state broadcaster churning out relentless propaganda supporting the government. And on the other side, we have the internet. And Julian's great achievement, and a decade ago, it seemed optimistic. Julian's great achievement was to show that using the power of the internet in order to empower whistleblowers, we could get the wrongdoing of governments out into the public domain. And that was part of a great movement of citizen journalism, which is still ongoing. and for which Julian has been an indispensable voice from the start. But any gains are in danger of being rowed back. Internetfreedom is under constant threat. The internet itself has developed in such a way that corporate gatekeepers now hold the keys. My own blog, many of you may know, just to give an example, over 85% of the people who come to my blog arrive via either Facebook or Twitter, both American corporations. Twitter now employs as its Middle East editor, its Middle East advisor, its Middle East censor, somebody who also works for the 77th Brigade British Government Propaganda, Army Propaganda Unit. Facebook employs Mr. Nimmo of the Integrity Initiative, the man who wrote an article in which he identified the word, the use of the phrase, qui bono, as the hallmarks of a Russian agent, because people were tweeting or putting on Facebook, qui bono, in response to the Duma incident in order to cast doubt on the narrative, the false narrative, that it was a Syrian government chemical attack. We can no longer depend on the internet automatically developing in ways that continue to enhance freedom and continue to provide an easy resource for citizens to get an alternative to state and billionaire propaganda. I know of nobody, nobody who is more on top of these issues, nobody who has a clearer view of the way to develop civil resistance than Julian Assange. We are entering the period of a new Cold War. The military-industrial complex seeks to benefit from a massive ramping up of Russophobia. We see it every day all around us. We are moving into dangerous, dangerous times. We've enhanced, deliberately enhanced international instability in order to further the profits and potential of the arms industry. And with a government standing for the election with all the media behind it, which openly says in its manifesto it wants to limit the powers of the courts and of parliament vis-a-vis the executive. We must see that what is happening to Julian and the attempts to suppress and to demonize his work, the attempts to close down WikiLeaks, that is part of what is happening in wider society. And we will fight, and we will fight, and we will fight again to get Julian out of jail for the interests of justice, for the interests of freedom, and because Julian needs to be there to lead us in the further struggles in the future. We want him not for just what he's done in the past, but we need him as our leader for the next few decades. Thank you very much.